Tonight we're going to reread what we read last week and consider the beginning of Psalm 119. And last week was really just by way of introduction to it, so tonight we're going to get into considering what the psalmist says. So I just want to read again the first 16 verses of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. All right, well, now that you have had a chance to have a little personal time, I hope, with this psalm, maybe you will agree with the words of Matthew Henry, who said, "This is a psalm in a class by itself. It's like none of the rest. It excels them all, and it shines brightest in this constellation." It's a marvelous psalm. If you took up my challenge to you from last week to sort of pray your way all the way through your through this psalm and take a stroll through it, I'm sure you had a spiritual experience of one kind or another. Matthew Henry also said this about this psalm, that he that shall read it considerately, it will either warm him or shame him. Okay, he'll either warm him or shame him. Now, if you're like me, it's some of each. Okay, if you're very close to the Lord and you've been a student of his word for some time and you love his word, then, you know, as you make your way through this psalm, yes, amen, you know, you nod it a lot, you smile a lot, and you're warmed. By this psalm and the psalmist's love for God's word, and you praise God and you know, you felt that a friend was near at hand, and yet at the same time your friend is far advanced than you spiritually, far more advanced spiritually, and it always makes you want to be a better disciple. It makes you want better things for yourself, doesn't it? Okay, this psalm really does make you more fervent. It makes you want to be more obedient. If you prayed through the psalm, you said "I" a lot. Okay, "I" and "me" and "you." You said things like, "I have not strayed from your precepts. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. I shall keep your law continually." Okay, and you said some things that were pretty bold. Don't you think? And perhaps you thought to yourself as you made your way through that, well, I've sort of done this. You know, I have tried to keep God's laws, but God knows I could do much better. God knows I could want it more than I do. Okay, that's what the scripture means when it says that we need to imitate those saints of old who by faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay, you read this psalm. You see what it's possible for a man to become spiritually, and you want to be like that. And the proverb says, as Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise." Okay? So if you take the authors of the scriptures to be your companions and your friends, and you walk with them, you will become wise. Okay? He who walks with the wise becomes wise. And then if you're distant from the Lord, if you don't have a whole lot of experience with the Bible, and maybe you don't know your way around it too well, and you prayed your way through this psalm this week, maybe making your way through the psalm left you feeling a little bit sheepish, maybe, maybe feeling like you have some catching up to do. Like Matthew Henry said, he said, whoever reads it considerately, it will either warm him or shame him. Okay, well, I'll tell you this much. If you feel like you have catching up to do in the Christian life, catching up is an adventure, okay? It is fun. It is something that you will delight in doing. It will be a new, wonderful experience for you. Fun isn't the right word, but it is electrifying to do the catching up that you need to do, to go exploring the nooks and crannies of the Bible and to start tracing meeting the characters in the Bible, tracing the story of redemption, God's plan, reading the promises and the doctrines. Okay, that is a new, it's a thrilling experience to learn the Word of God. The scripture says this, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared a banquet. She has mixed her wine and furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens, and she cries out from the high point of the city, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And for him who lacks understanding, she says to you, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Okay, so if you're new to the Word of God and you commit yourself to doing this, truly you are in for blessings like blessings you have never experienced before. So don't be discouraged if you feel like you're behind the eight ball. Don't be discouraged, but don't delay. I did this Tuesday morning. It was a glorious day, as most days this week have been. Sat on my porch swing and listened to the birds chirp and spent about 2 hours getting through this psalm. And I guess almost three, maybe by the time you include the homework. So I did do the homework myself. The benefit for me is I've done that before, and I have written in my Bible, all through my Bible, I have lots of little penciled in notes and arrows and circles and things like that, which I highly recommend that you do for yourself. Some people think it's sacrilegious or something to write in your Bible. Please, by all means, make yourself notes, write your thoughts, point to this and that, and circle the ones that you want that speak to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you through your own experience in studying His Word. And when I go through a passage again, you see the things that the Spirit spoke to you before, the things that you first understood. You understand this is actually talking about that, and they're connected, and you see the flow of logic and so on. Okay, write notes for yourself in your Bibles. I highly, highly recommend it. Then when you go through again, you will benefit from the fruit of your own learning the second time through. All right, so for tonight, I really want to concentrate on the, I don't know if any of you have your papers. I left my paper at home, actually. So if you want to concentrate on the substance of part two of the homework, where I asked you to make some observations and applications. Okay, so let's just turn to the text. Let's start with the first three verses. And the psalmist says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. So the psalmist sees that there is this most blessed group of people. And they are the undefiled. That's what he calls them, the undefiled. Their way is undefiled. Okay, the way they walk in. I hope perhaps that you noticed, if you did your observation, that the word way is the most repeated noun in all of these verses. It's six times in the English version, six times in these 16 verses, way. And they walk in the Lord's ways. His ways are their ways. And the psalmist says in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed likewise to keep your statutes. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed or by guarding it according to your word. 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. 15, I will contemplate your ways. Okay, your way, brothers and sisters, is the course of your life. It's a very frequent Bible metaphor. It's the path of your life, the pattern of your life. Where is your way headed? Do you ever ask yourself this? Do you say, what is going to be the eventual outcome of the path that I am currently on, with my personal habits, my spiritual disciplines, you know, whether I do them a lot or a little, my inner thoughts, the things I delight in, the things I choose to look at and think about. Can I perceive where this trail is heading? Where am I going to go? Where's I going? Because there's more than one way to walk on, isn't there? Okay, there's a broad way, which really means any old way, and there's a narrow way. Most people are on the broad way. Okay, their way is just whatever way they like. The undefiled, they're on the narrow way. Okay, and they walk in it. You see, twice in the first three verses, they walk in it. How blessed they are. And in the psalm, oh, how I want to be in that number. I want to walk on the way. Now, has God marked out a course for us to walk upon? Of course he has. Okay, the way of life. The proverb says the way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. Okay, it's a very good proverb. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. So what is this walking in the way? Well, you see a couple of more expansive verbs here. I'm just kind of scan over the text here. You see verbs like seek and keep and take heed and meditate and contemplate. Okay, think about what all those verbs have in common. They all express a mindset of purpose and concentration and focus, right? Intention. Something is the object of this man's focus. To seek means he's on a quest. He's searching for something. He's trying to uncover it and have it. Well, what is it? Well, verse 2, they seek God. Okay, they're seeking God is what verse 2 says. You know, think about how the signposts and the footpaths and the stepping stones that God has laid out in the pathway for us to find and how they point towards him. He left his laws, his testimonies, his precepts, instead, all these words that the psalm uses, his judgments. His judgments means his decisions. He's given us promises and warnings and charges. Okay, all of this is the way, right? You know the verse, this is the way. Walk in this, don't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And what are you going to find? You're going to find God. Okay, you're going to find him because you guard your way. That's verse 9. On the other version, it was, okay, guard your way, you cleanse your way. That means that living the godly life involves making changes. Okay? Change, personal change, is the progress of the Christian life. And here's a man with purpose, with concentration. Okay, this is the meaning of life. Okay, these people who are on this path, they know where they want to go. Their lives are directed. They're not aimless. Think about how aimless many people's Christian lives are. They're just, Christians kind of do whatever comes to mind. They don't really have any directed discipline and purpose. They want to seek God and find God and follow his path. Okay, and listen to Paul. It's in 1 Corinthians. He says this, "Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run like you want to win." Okay, that's how you should live your Christian life. Okay, lots of people run. I want to win. Okay, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. And everyone, he says, who competes for a prize exercises self-control in all things. And he says, now look at regular athletes. You know, consider the marathon runner or the javelin thrower, okay? They do it to win a medal or, a bouquet or something like that, or a ribbon. We are striving to win an imperishable crown. And so Paul says, so therefore, I don't run aimlessly. You know, I'm not just out for a jog, okay? I don't just go in whatever direction today's impulses happen to lead me. And I think that's how many Christians live. You know, just whatever floats through their head today, that's what they do. No, Paul says, I don't fight like a boxer flailing at the air, okay? I discipline myself. I keep my body in subjection, lest I should be disqualified, even though I have preached the word of God to others, okay? That's a man with focus. He has a goal. He presses on. You know Paul's language. Press on. Forget what's back there. Okay, I'm not going to brood over the past and my failures and my sins. Okay, I could have done this better. I would have. I should have. You know, all of this stuff. Forget all that. What am I going to do today, starting now? How am I going to do the will of God starting today? How am I going to advance on the path? Okay, you can't change the past. There's no use being depressed over the past. Start today. God forgives your sins. He says that he does. He's thrown all the past failures and offenses away. They're paid for. And now God calls you upward. So go. Okay? Glory lies that way. Just go and seek the Lord. So how do you seek the Lord? Well, the Bible says God has not left himself without a testimony. Okay, he has revealed certain things to us. In fact, he's made quite a lot about himself known to us. He's I'm moving down to verse 4 here. He's given us commandments, and he's told us to keep them diligently. Now, let me give you a couple things from Deuteronomy, which a lot of this language is borrowed from Deuteronomy. If you know the statutes, the judgments, the precepts, okay, that's over and over again in Deuteronomy, and he's borrowing his language directly from there. Deuteronomy 6:17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and statutes which he has commanded you, doing what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, and it will be well with you, and you'll go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to give you for an inheritance. Okay? And Deuteronomy 28:1, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to carefully observe all his commandments, that he will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, and they're going to run you down because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, right, diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to be diligent, to keep your statutes, verse 5. Okay, I want to stay on that path. And I want to quit wandering off into bypath meadow and taking a break from God's commandments, okay? I know myself. Listen, see how he prays? Oh, that my ways were directed. I know myself. I know I'm still partly in love with the world. Okay? I understand God's ways are good, they're right, they're the path to life, and I love them, but I kind of love myself too, you know, inside, and I do feel pulled in two directions. So, Lord, I depend on you. Do you see how he's calling on God to be his sufficiency? We need God's help to live the godly life. We need God to help us, you know, sort of shake off the fog of the attractions of the world. You know, keep our eyes fixed on the prize. And that's why it's a prayer. Okay, the psalmist, as we should, he acknowledges his own insufficiency. I can't do this without you. I need you to change me. I need you to make me like Jesus Christ. Really, and I don't know how much the psalmist knew about this, you know, but the New Testament tells us that we need that inner director, don't we? Okay, we need a new heart. He can see, we can see how some people kind of just keep the commandments outwardly. I don't want that. I want it to be automatic. You know, I want that inner motor, that kind of disciplined decision maker that keeps me on the right path and keeps me walking with you, keeps me glad to be on the right path. Okay? Then when I read, going on, verse 6, when I hear the word of God, when I hear a sermon or I read the Bible or something like that, I will not have to blush anymore. Okay? I think we all know that experience. How our conscience speaks to us. You know, you hear a message or you're reading the Word of God and, you know, goodness, that's not me. You know, we all know the experience of falling short of God's glory and being ashamed, okay? Your conscience is there for that reason. The Bible says it sometimes condemns you and it sometimes acquits you, okay? If your behavior is according to the Word of God, well, then your conscience will affirm you, right? That's what the Bible does. It pierces right down into your soul, into the depths, and you either see that you lived according to the will of God or that you violated the will of God, and you're accordingly either ashamed or you're assured. So here's the possibility that a man can stand in the light of God's word and God's will and not feel ashamed. Okay, that's a wonderful promise. Remember in 1 John that we did not too long ago? This is how we know that we love God, and we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, and then our heart assures us. Remember that? Our heart is at rest in his presence. That is a marvelous place to be, when your heart assures you that you're doing the will of God, you love God, you're keeping his commandments. Okay, and then verse 7, when we know that we belong to God, we praise him. Okay, joy is the result. That's also from 1 John, remember? I'm writing to you so that your joy may be full. Okay, I want you to be in line with the will of God. I want you to be obeying him, walking with him, and your joy will be full. I'll rejoice. I will praise you with an upright heart when I have learned all your righteous judgments. Ah, doesn't say all. That was my memory verse, by the way, 5 to 8. And I kept saying, all your righteous judgments. All's not there. When I have learned your righteous judgments. There's something about knowing, though, what the right way is. Even if you're just beginning to live as a Christian, just knowing that you have in hand the recipe for a good, God-pleasing life, even if you're not so good at it yet, you have hope, you have gladness. Just having and just learning the Word of God makes you praise God. Okay, a lot of things in your life may still be in a mess, but at least you know you got up out of the mud, or God got you up out of the mud. He puts your feet on the right path. He has assured you that he's taken your sins away. They're put away, they're pardoned. And yes, maybe there's a long, long way to go, but the way ahead is sure. It's marked out clearly, and there's a loving hand guiding you. So he says, I will keep your statutes, verse 8. And he makes a pledge. I think that was in your homework. What pledges does he make? Okay, I will keep your statutes. And then he says, so help me God. Don't forsake me. Okay, if you stay with me, I will succeed. I will come through. I will stand fast. Just don't forsake me. Today, if you are struggling with something, if there is some kind of pain, or you're miserable in some way, you're suffering, just know this, that to have God's word is sufficient for you, okay? It is a sure way forward into the future. And maybe you can't see it so clearly right now, but the assurance that we have from the word of God is that it does speak into our daily lives. It is sufficient for our problems. As long as God doesn't forsake us, okay, we can stand fast. The psalm says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. He is the light of my countenance and my God. Okay, I'm going to walk in the way. God's going to preserve me. Going on verse 9 then, let me read 9 to 12. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Now, verse 9, I mean, memorize it. You ought to know this verse, especially if you have sons. Okay, know this verse and the ones that follow. If you have daughters, drive it home to them that this is the quality you should be looking for in a young man. It's more important than his job. It's more important than his looks. Okay, young men who direct their way by taking heed according to the word of God, they are few and far between today. Okay, see that your sons or grandsons are brought up in this way, according to the word of God. Young men, and you know, as was said, of course, young women too, and old men too, and old women too. Okay, everybody needs to cleanse their way. But to the greatest extent, the health of a community or the stability of a community rests upon the character and the lives of the young men and the young fathers. They're the heads of families and the future heads of families. Okay, and if it's to them that is entrusted the training up of the next generation. Okay, children look to their fathers for an example and for the direction. And if the young men go astray, when young men are undisciplined, when they themselves refuse to be under the authority of God everything eventually is going to fall apart. And I think, you know, our own culture is a sufficient testimony to that. Young women are not meant to raise children by themselves. Young men are not meant to go through their lives just satisfying all their urges and being irresponsible. Okay? It's necessary that young men stay the right course in order to guide the families of which God has made them the shepherds. Okay? And even if that person should, you know, grow up and not get married or not have children or whatever, he's still part of a community. Okay? Think about how in the Old Testament, lots of times you have the elders in the gate. It's sort of the city council of old. You know, these are the men that gather in the gate. Okay? Those are the people to whom it falls to keep the community unified, safe, healthy. Okay? And those elders once were young men. And they had to be trained. They had to learn the ways of righteousness and justice and godliness and wisdom. Okay, train up a child in the way he should go. Then when he is elder, okay, he won't swerve from it. And Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, but then I became a man and I stopped acting like a child. I put away childish things. Okay, so how can a young man cleanse his way? God appoints him to have charge of a household someday. And to be an influence in his community, if he's not going to be under authority, how can he be a good authority? Hey, he himself has to be under the supervision of God. So man is the head of woman, Christ is the head of man. That's what the scripture says. So this young man, he wants to walk with the undefiled. He wants to be among the blessed. You see, verse 10 says, his whole heart is set on it. I want to stay on this path. I want to not wander. So you see, he has open ears. He has a hungry, receptive heart. He's intent on this, right? He's teachable. He's going to search God's word. He's going to study. He's going to remember God's command. He's going to store it up, lay it up. Okay? He wishes not to sin against God, verse 11. Okay? And if he lays up the word of God in his heart, he'll be successful in that, in not sinning. The word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against thee. Okay, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me this. Teach me. He's teachable. But again, you see, it's the heart. Maybe you saw in your homework that heart was repeated four times in these verses. Okay, it's all about the heart. That is what the Lord wants. I'll say it once again. The Lord wants the whole heart. The heart, that's why I chose that song, number 11, the last verse. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. He offers the Lord his heart, says, shape it, fill it with good things, fill it with life. Okay, I want to have, verse 7, I want to have an upright heart. So disciples, learning God's word. I keep telling you, read your Bible, memorize your verses. Okay, learning God's word is about shaping your heart. I think if we could just grasp that much, if we could just get our brains around that, I think then Christians would take Bible study, their personal Bible study, much more seriously. They would be eager for it, like this man is. You would take morning worship and Sunday school much more seriously. You know, people see going to church as like their religious duty, that if, you know, that's what they do for the Lord, and if they, you know, check the box, then God's going to credit them with something. No, it is not, that is not it at all. It is about shaping and nourishing the heart. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, the psalmist says, and he wants to be one of those undefiled. And he sees that they're undefiled, their way is undefiled because they cleansed their way, right? They did something about their way. Okay, these people weren't born undefiled. Nobody's born undefiled. They cleansed their way. You know, people seem to think, maybe you've had this experience, people, you know, they meet a good Christian, and they somehow think that this person that they meet today has always been, you know, this good man that they meet today. And that it kind of makes them lose hope, you know. It's, oh, you know, I'm not like that person at all. And I've never been that way, and I could never be. You know, he's just a good man, and you know, I could never be that kind of way. It's just not true. You know, people think, oh, it's too late for me. I'm just not like you. Well, nobody is undefiled naturally. Christ saves sinners, and Christ cleans up sinners, and sinners cleanse their way. You know, if you meet a good man who's a good Christian, it's because he cleansed his way. The Lord helped them to clean it up. Okay? They gave their heart over to God, like verse 2 says. They gave their heart to God. They let God change their heart. He gave them a new heart, and they filled up their heart with his word. And by doing that, they became the undefiled in the way. That's how it works. And, you know, if any of you feel like, you know, you have a long way to go, well, that's how it works for you. Okay? Give God your heart. He will do what he does with hearts. He cleans them up. He shapes them. And, you know, open up your heart to his powerful cleansing word. And I tell you, start laying it up in your heart. You're always going to need it until the day you die. So you need to learn it. You need to store it up. Daily decision-making times come upon you virtually every day. And you need to have the principles of God's word right at hand mentally. And you need to have your heart change. You need to have your mind ready to anticipate, how am I going to choose between the right and the wrong? How can I choose what's right, reject the wrong, or, you know, choose the best out of many options, okay? And you can give wise advice besides. Sometimes that's what you need to do. Somebody will come to you and ask you, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Well, it's if you have God's word and the principles of it stored up in your heart, you'll have a ready word for them. Let's read the rest, starting in verse 13, okay? With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Okay, you see, what he stored up in his heart now comes out. And it's a blessing of life, okay, not just to himself, but to others, not least of whom is your family, by the way. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. That's how it goes. First you are taught, you listen, you pay heed, and you store it up. Then you become the leader, okay? You become the guide, the teacher, the helper. You declare. Now, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure stored up in his heart brings forth good things. There are people around you, your family most of all, who need the words of life. Okay, they need to be led in the way. Well, the way is Jesus, and Jesus is the way. They need godly counsel. They need gospel wisdom, and you can't share what you don't have. You have to store it up in your heart. So it's important, the last couple of verses there, it's important that you yourself never stop growing and never stop studying. I will meditate. I will contemplate. Okay, I'm always thinking about it. I'm always, as I said, you know, writing things in the margin of your Bible. You're always circling and writing questions and asking questions of people. You're always comparing and applying what you read to your own life. God's word is alive. It's active. It has daily, almost daily, fresh application to your immediate situation. So you ought to want it. Okay, you ought to hunger for it. And more than riches, more than my daily bread. Jesus said, sanctify them, he prayed, sanctify them by your truth, and thy word is truth. Okay, that's how we're going to become holy, by learning God's word. He says, I will not forget your word, it will make you holy. As I said, the proverb says, the way of life winds upward for the wise, leading them away from Sheol beneath. All right, that brings us to the end of that section. Now, John, would you grab these, and thank you. I'm going to give you an assignment for next time, which, as I said, is in 2 weeks. For next time, read the next two sections, okay? So that's verses 17 to 32. Pray your way through them as you did before. And see yourself in these verses, okay? Put yourself in the psalmist's shoes. And another thing, see Jesus in them. Let me just kind of walk you through the paper. It's not the same questions as before. Make your way through the verses, pray them, see yourself, and try to put yourself in, see what is his situation, because they're different than this first section. I did ask you again to write down, you know, what are some important nouns and verbs? What are some of the key words here? try to describe, gather your information from the scripture, try to describe the situation that the speaker is in, and what does he think he's going to get? What benefit, again, is he going to get from the Word of God in his situation? I'm not asking you to answer those questions out of your own head. All the answers are in the scripture. Okay, so just plumb those verses. You'll find the answers. What use is the Word of God to the psalmist in that situation? What does the speaker want the Lord to do for him? Again, what pledges does the speaker make? And any other observations. If you didn't finish your memory, thank you, John. If you didn't finish your memorization, then continue to work on it, okay? It says write out your memory verses that you selected from the first week. So if you got to today and you didn't memorize your memory verses, you're not off the hook. Okay, continue to work on that. Understand? You were four verses in a row from the first 16. Make it something that you are going to memorize and say to yourself. Try to do it from memory, okay? I gave you four lines there to write them out. If you can't remember, this is the way to memorize. Peek if necessary. This is how I've always showed my kids how to memorize their memory verses for school. Have the paper there in front of you. Cover it, close your eyes or whatever. Say as much as you can. If you get stuck, look. Cover it up again with your hand. Start again. Keep doing that until you can say it all the way through. It's okay to cheat. You're not cheating. You're learning. Okay? Peek if necessary until you have it down. And see if you can't add two more verses from the new section. Okay? So you have 2 weeks for that. Well, I'll dismiss you now. Let's pray. Again, Lord God, it's good to be together with our brothers and sisters around us as disciples in your class. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into the world to save us and to do the grand work of redemption. Now that we belong to you, Lord God, we pray that your Spirit would assist us in living as you would have us to live. Help us indeed to cleanse our way, to walk on the path that leads to life, that winds upward to heaven and away from Sheol beneath. Bless all my brothers and sisters, Lord God, and bless me and my family. Please, Father, keep us close to you, keep our minds fixed on you, and give us your peace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.